Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 8:11 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us, as she does every Tuesday after the Monday City Council meeting, Sam Abel, City Manager for the City of Gulf Breeze. Hey, Sam, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
All right, I have a surprise for you. I have a present for you of a sort. Good friend Randy Jorgensen from the City of Milton name-checked you the other day. I don't know if you heard this, but I'm going to play you the clip because it's funny.
The City of Gulf Breeze had a manager and an assistant manager. I believe the assistant manager position there today is vacant. I don't know if it exists, but I know that they had one. There's little doubt in my mind I could manage the City of Gulf Breeze alone. Okay, that's not an insult to the current manager. That's because the City of Gulf Breeze does not have a lot of the challenges that we have.
Sam Abel, your thoughts?
Well, it takes a lot of work to make it look this easy.
Oh, nice. It does. That's right.
It does. It does. Well, I'll say throughout, the history of Gulf Breeze, that position has been filled.
When Buzz, right, was the was the city manager.
Yes, and there were certainly individuals in that position long, long before me, for decades. So the way that it would operate is you would have somebody who would act as the COO or the administrative person to make sure that there's follow through with agenda items.
Okay.
While the city manager is working so close with the city council, what we ultimately did is we created an administrative services director position. So that COO also has all HR responsibilities, and that's Stephanie Lucas.
Okay.
So the reason why we don't have an assistant city manager is because we have an administrative services director in lieu of.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
So not because the job's just so easy.
Right. as you and I have talked about many times, Andrew, Gulf Breeze provides utilities in two counties.
Yeah.
Our service area stretches, well into the Holly Navarre area. But I will tell you, I was reminded last night, just again, how blessed we are in our community by the civil discourse that we had at our council meeting. It was very productive, individuals on both sides of the issue. And the reason why it was so productive is because you had a mayor and council who understand the importance of local governance, set the expectations at the beginning of the meeting and made sure that the meeting was productive. And so that always starts, with leadership at the top. And last night was just a reminder of that.
Boy, I sure would love to be able to watch that meeting online.
Well, Andrew, you've got to come to our meeting. That's the important.
That's right.
As last night would illustrate, maximum capacity, our fire marshal said, he went and measured again, said we can have 150 people. We had individuals in every seat last night.
Oh, wow.
And I'll tell you, as I scanned faces, as individuals left, everyone was smiling. Everyone was grinning. Everyone felt good about the compromises that were reached. And so, Andrew, you just have to show up and be part of it.
on to other business. So dog park gate. Where are we? It's been 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks since you and I talked last. You were putting a two-week moratorium in. What has happened since then?
So what has happened is the park will remain temporarily closed until the park can be brought to be ADA compliant. We talked about the history of the park that the city's ADA transition plan, which was developed with an ADA consultant in 2018, ran at the same time as plans for our beach dog park. The beach dog park originally was supposed to be fenced, and so it would have offered equivalent opportunities for disabled persons, but ultimately the fence wasn't permitted. And so this issue has brought to light that we aren't offering equivalents at two different types of dog parks. So That means for the one that is fenced, we need to do that. I felt confident because the council commits funding every year to implementing a transition plan that they would want to do that. The question I have for them is, due to, you know, their evaluation of the risk that is outstanding, would they want to keep the park closed until we can do that? Andrew, they said that is exactly what they wanted to do. And we also talked about the fact we think we can do that parking in-house. And so today we'll be working on a schedule, but we'll obviously want to install the ADA parking and the paths, which will provide access to the park as quickly as possible. What was also talked about is that the individual making the complaint has continued to assert as recently as just last Sunday that there has to be accommodations within the park itself.
Okay.
And our ADA consultant, who's an engineer, was, you know, very clear that there is not an ADA regulation or guideline that requires that. Certainly this city could do that, but, you know, there's issues on both sides if you're changing the functionality of the park.
Yeah.
And so that was also addressed, and ultimately we'll make sure that it's ADA compliant, but we're not going to be providing additional features inside the park itself.
I know that had been only one part of the discussion. The other part was these bickering adults who could not get along and, you know, all of the various problems that they were alleging when it came to the dog park operation, the city and all that. Is that stuff all, like, we're not worried about that, that's resolved, we only need to deal with the ADA stuff and then we're back to operations?
Well, right. Let's be honest. That's why everyone showed last night, right? Was not for the ADA discussion.
Right.
That's pretty obvious, but it was the human behaviors. And so, you know, that's where I talk about that last night was just I think, so inspiring for those who care about local governance, because you had individuals who had witnessed what was going on take the podium and say, you know, we should have been part of the solution before it got to where it is.
Oh, that's great.
What ultimately was decided is that the city will try to develop a code of conduct similar to what you see commonly at ball fields that just reminds everyone, hey, this is what we expect.
Yeah.
And, you know, there will be anti-bullying and do not feed other individuals' dogs. And the importance of having those policies adopted by the council is our city attorney then advised that violation of those policies would result in a no trespass. So we're not talking about, you know, a nanny state. We're not talking about, you know, the government closely monitoring exchanges between each other. But when it gets to the point that it negatively impacts other people's enjoyment of the park,
right,
then it would result in a no trespass, which heretofore that was answered very clearly last night by our attorney and by our Parks and Rec director. You know, we don't no trespass someone just because they're annoying or because they're antagonistic. Most of these disputes are between each other, and yet it was consuming so much of staff time.
Right.
So I thought, you know, on all sides last night, the spirit of community was alive and well. Everyone recognized that there were problems, that it had consumed too many resources, and whereas there might have been solutions identified, they were not enforceable because these are social behaviors.
Right.
So unless
there's a posted system of rules and you're violated, that makes perfect
Correct.
Sense.
You
guys also last night, aside from the whole dog park issue, you've kind of entered final stage for implementing the business tax receipts for the rental companies working out of Shoreline Park, which would not allow for paddleboard rentals. We've talked about that before. This was last phase of that. You also dealt with the reader board policy. Now that you guys have that, now that you have them in the city, there needs to be a policy of content for those. And then also, first reading you on banning smoking in city parks, something that I know Pensacola has been working on, Milton has been working on, and previously, I think, was preempted to the state prior to fairly recent. Do I have that right?
Right. And so what was fun about that is I don't know that a lot of people realize that local governments could not prohibit smoking in parks, mm-hmm, because the state legislature had preempted that decision to the state. That changed in the 2022 legislature, effective 23. And so, yes, Andrew, Milton beat us on that one, Pensacola, other areas. But what it does do is it continues to preempt to the state unfiltered cigars. So if any of your listeners smoke unfiltered cigars, they're welcome to do that in any city park, because I'm guessing there might be a lawmaker who enjoys a good Cuban. I don't know.
No, that's not something that the legislature in Tallahassee would ever craft special carve-outs on behalf of. Come
on now. I don't know.
How dare you?
There was certainly speculation last night. So.
So, but again, just for people who wonder, it is still allowed until the second reading, which is not yet, but I assume will be either in 2 weeks or a month or something like that. So, very good. Sam Abel, city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Sam, I'll make this one last pitch. You know, I talk about Milton and all of the entertaining drama that they have. We talk about Escambia and Santa Rosa and their entertaining drama. I like to talk about how the city of Pensacola runs well because I can play the audio and show that it happens. If only your city council would be on video, because I cannot always come. I would gladly feature healthy function. I would gladly feature it.
I think you should come to a meeting and express your opinion during our public forum, because we love to hear from our public during public forum. So you have to come and be part of that. Yeah, you see that?
Yeah. Sam Abel, city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. For those who are new to the show, this is a long-running conversation that Sam and I have been having for years about all this. So, because I think she does have a point, too, that putting the thing on video tends to reward the disruptive and bad behavior, and we see that in our local government as well. Sam, thank you so much for the time, and thanks for what you do. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.